You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, y'all. This is Meg Murray. Joining you live from my apartment with my good friend Taylor Lassiter here on Girls Talkin' Boys, partnered as always with SB Nation. Hey, Taylor.
What's up, man?
Welcome to the pod.
The boy part of Girls Talkin'
Boys. Girls and boys talking boys. Yes. Yeah. Lifelong Cowboys fan. Tell the people about yourself. Why are you here with me today? Other than that, Kelsey left us to go like be on island.
Very
time.
True. So I'm playing reserve today, hoping I don't Wally Pip Kelsey. There's an old reference there for you. But anyways, really, Meg, the most important reason I'm here today is for opportunities for you to say nice things about me. That's kind of what I was hoping for, but I don't know if we'll get there, but that was the main goal for me to get started.
If that's what you came for, I have some bad news for you.
Not even with other people listening, you can't even do it.
I mean, you were really cute as a kid in your Cowboys gear, if that's something nice about
that's
you.
That's true. Well, I'm super pumped to be here. Kind of what you alluded to, Dallas kid, families from here, born and raised, grew up a Cowboys fan, really anything Dallas sports related. Was an athlete growing up. So obviously football was all sports, but football specifically was very important to me and my family, and had the opportunity to play collegiately as well. So I got a little bit of, I don't know, background or insight.
If you didn't mess up that knee, you could be out here on our defense, like mixing it up.
You know, see that, look, there's a nice thing, right?
Okay. I'll sprinkle it in here.
I guess we could say that, but that's very kind of you. But it's something that's been very important for me and my family for a long time. And I like to think that I've, know enough about it to banter and talk a little shit every
now
and then.
I mean, you do mix it up on in these Twitter streets quite a bit.
I do. And,
we won't mention the beef you got into with a former Cowboys player.
A couple of years back. Yeah, I do like to throw some jabs every now and then, but all in
Jesse
good
Holly
fun.
Doesn't take jokes, just so we're clear.
Not at all. Not at all. But I did, just one little fun nugget. I did have an opportunity, while I was playing to actually work with the university. I went to the University of Arkansas and
Home of the Jones.
That's right. So, and Mr. Jeremy Sprinkle as well, which we'll get into.
Yes.
But I worked with the radio and the sports team there for a while. I had my own radio show and did that for a couple years, focusing on Razorback sports and, kind of pop culture fun stuff for a little bit. And then also worked with the ESPN team up there for about a semester or so. So I like to think I know somewhat about what I'm talking about, but mostly I'm just here to yuck it up with you and drink a couple White Claws.
I'm here for these White Claws. I was going to say hot takes, and then I started to say White Claw. So it was about to be white takes.
We'll do both.
It is White Boy Summer.
It is White Boy Summer. I've got the chain going on.
According to Chet Hanks, who, this is where we get all of our important information from. So there's been a lot of stuff that's happened this off season, and I'd like to get some white takes, hot takes from you, White Claw takes.
White Claw takes, sure.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously the Dak signing was the biggest thing. Was that the right thing to do?
Absolutely, long overdue. Dak is the leader of the team, has proved that over the years. That's the one position where you have to solidify. And you go across the league, right? And you you look at the teams that have that position locked up. They've got a guy that's their leader. He's had Pro Bowl caliber seasons. He does all the things on both on and off the field that you want in your franchise player. So, you know, something that, you know, I think we've talked about for the last couple of years of hoping that we had gotten this done sooner. Regardless of that, we're here. We did it. It's done. Right thing to do. And once you get that guy taken care of, you know, then you can really start, putting your roster together and forming the rest of the core of your squad, which, you know, I think we've debated for a while now about what pieces kind of funnel into that and what's most important, but you have to have that cornerstone guy. And regardless of, honestly, for me, regardless of what the final numbers look like, that's a guy that you got to get knocked out, and he's shown that he's worth that price point, and he bet on himself, and you know, the sky's the limit for him.
I mean, imagine not having your quarterback walk down. Like, it could not be me.
Well, I mean, you look at. So I.
Now that we've actually done it.
Yeah, I'm 30 years old, right? So I grew up very young during the triplets and got to see kind of that dynasty start, take off, and then eventually fade.
That'll get you hooked.
It does, yes. And then you have those kind of forbidden dark age years where we had, I mean, I don't even know the exact number off the top of my head, but the revolving door at quarterback, and that's just for our franchise.
Yeah.
And then we absolutely hit the lottery with Romo.
Yeah. And then coming in for Drew. It was exactly. That was a fluke situation for Tony to come in. Also a fluke situation for Dak to come in.
Right. And those were two for me. You know, and we haven't seen it in the forms of playoff victories or championships, since those two times. Mm-hmm. But those were two cornerstone moments, I think, in the franchise over the last at least 25 years. But you essentially got two perennial Pro Bowl and Tony, borderline fringe Hall of Fame player.
I have to ask, are you a Romosexual?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just wanted to check.
No questions there. That's my guy forever. So.
I feel like you either absolutely die for Tony Romo or you hate him.
Right, and I think you have to understand where we were at in our franchise at the time when Tony was playing, and you know he didn't have all the bells and whistles in his game when he came in, because if he did, he would have been a draft pick, right? A top draft pick. So there was a lot of things that he needs to learn, he needed to work on, but you know, he had that it factor and he got it done year after year after year.
And then they finally started giving him some protection and some pieces.
Right.
And then, you know, he goes.
And then, you know, football is a game played in an oblong shaped ball with bounces that go different ways. Sometimes he knows that more than anybody.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work out. There's great players that don't win championships and it just happens that way. But that I don't slight Tony for not, getting us over the hump and to the holy grail of football. But was he perfect? No, but he was absolutely a top-notch guy during his time here. But long story short, you go from him and then you bleed right into Dak. And then now you have Dak locked up essentially for the rest of his career, hopefully.
Yeah.
For really the price of nothing when you look at it. So that's.
Yeah. Everyone likes to get crazy about that number when, I mean, if you look at what he was asking for before, it just goes with the market. And yeah. I think we've beat that dead horse into the ground a million times, but it's going to look like an amazing deal when he's here for like, on his fourth year.
Absolutely. He just has to keep producing. And obviously, we're all excited to see the recovery and where he starts the season, and everything sounds like he's well on his way. And, I think that
if you listened to our episode last week,
we
talked about his thick ankles.
Yes.
And
in my group chats, we have some funny comments about Dak's ankles and I think, for someone that's had a couple surgeries myself, it's never going to be the same in terms of the way it looks, the way it sometimes feels, but the way that you'll be able to perform, it shouldn't be an issue. And I actually, fun story, if he had surgery with the team doctor, which I'm assuming he did, I won't name any names, but mm-hmm. we actually had the same surgeon for both of my ACL reconstructions. And
where's your millions of dollars?
You know, what happened was,
you see, the way my bank works.
The checking and the savings, you know, but just another fun aside. But no, I think, yeah. I think we're set at least for, you know, for the next decade or so, I hope, with Dak and ready to ride it out with him.
Yeah. And okay, so I mean, they kind of came out and said, we're not gonna do anything super exciting, so stop like looking at me now.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the old trope of we like our guys.
Sure.
But was there anything that happened in this offseason that kind of like surprised you?
For the Cowboys specifically?
Yes.
I think that, you know, just from following the team now for as long as, you know, we have, and understanding at least the culture shift, I'll say post
Malone.
Nice. Post, at least for me, the post 2006, because that's, I mean, there's probably some other guys, some splashy names since then that we've signed, but that was when we went out and we signed T.O., right? And that was also the first Romo year,
mm-hmm.
right? When Drew got hurt. So that was, again, coming back to that. But, you know, really outside of the, you know, the big flashy free agent guys, most of them have been guys that we've either kept in house or extended, you know, extended our own guys. And there's probably some guys throughout that time period where we shouldn't have, which I think we've learned from our mistakes with that. But I think that at least over the last, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10 years that we've gone to this new mindset of we don't overpay guys.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, we'll overpay great players, right?
Right.
Potentially, like we did with, I think you would say we did that with Zeke. We certainly did that with Dak, but I think that, again, I think that will work
D-Y
itself
even.
Out. Absolutely. Yeah. But these guys were perennial
mm-hmm.
all pro players, you know, top 5, 10 at their position.
Yeah.
I mean, they deserve to be paid and they were successful guys, but we got caught in that process in the past where, you know, we were paying fringe guys in the hopes that they would become, you know, a step up. Or you see it all the time with teams where they have cap space and they have to spend it. So they sign guys that are either average players and they pay them like they're good players.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're below average and they pay them, you know, maybe above average. But for me, roster reconstruction can't happen that way. Don't overpay guys unless they're, you know, that they're going to be good to great players. And I think that's kind of been our mindset. And we like our guys. We know more about our guys than we know about Jets players or Patriots players or whoever it is.
Yeah.
Because they're our own guys. We've seen them. We've scouted them. We've studied them. We've practiced with them for years. So there's certainly a comfort zone there. So I understand it. But I'm not one to go out and really make splashes in free agency unless you know that guy is going to be, you know, a superstar. He's going to help your program. It doesn't have to be big money signings. That's what everybody gets excited about. But I will say, if there's one gripe that I have with the way, and I will give Steven a lot of credit and Jerry to an extent, I do think they do a really good job with Will McClay in the scouting department.
Yes.
And we've drafted extremely well over the last couple of years, minus, you know
that one
two.
Year.
Yeah. But
we won't talk about Taco.
We don't need to. But I, for me, there's a lot of different ways that you can add to your team outside of just the draft and free agency, right? And you have to get creative with how you do it. And you see teams like the Buccaneers, the Chiefs,
the
Patriots. That's right. I mean, these well-oiled organizations that they have an identity and they have a culture. Granted, they're also, I'll throw in the Buccaneers this year because, you know, they had all the momentum. They haven't always been that way,
yeah.
but you know, they might have the edge where you can get guys to choose to come to your team or come to your team in free agency for less than maybe other teams would, but they get creative in how they go about it.
Well, also it helps that Tom Brady's really good at social media these days.
That's true. He is on fire.
He is on fire. I don't like him, but I have to respect him, you know?
Well, you have to respect him first off, but you kind of have to like a 43-year-old man that still got the juice online. Like, I'm with it.
No, for sure. I also am one of those people that finds the Tom Brady kissing his son jokes funny. So yeah, I can't let it go. I don't know what it is.
You think it's funny. I think it's something else, but
well, the jokes are funny. The actual act, maybe we don't need to discuss.
Sure, for sure.
Okay. So speaking of, like, we like our guys and you're comfortable with who you have. We did Coach Fossil had the opportunity to bring in, like, guys on special teams. Mm-hmm. But I have a conspiracy theory that I need your take on. So I've said this, and RJ actually has the same one. It was like two great minds.
Okay.
So I think that they got rid of LP because they wanted Witten to be the longest, like, Cowboy.
Interesting.
Because he was going to get passed this year if they kept LP.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I've heard crazier things. I can certainly buy it. Do we know if LP wanted to continue playing? Has he got picked up anywhere else?
I don't think he was expecting to lose his job.
Okay, well. Hey, stay ready. You always got to stay ready. Listen.
Stay ready. You don't gotta get ready.
That's right. No, I that makes perfect sense, and I understand it. To me, I think eventually there's got to be a day of reckoning for everyone.
Yeah.
But
I don't think LP was the problem.
Well, I mean, I've been watching the Cowboys in my sports conscious for, 20 plus years. And he's played how many seasons? 15 plus. I don't know. Yeah,
16.
Okay. And I don't remember a bad snap or something over anybody's head. So he's done phenomenal. But at the end of the day, he also has got to run down there and try to tackle somebody every now and then. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know, but
he wasn't running fast enough, I guess.
Maybe he didn't pass the conditioning test this year.
Poor guy.
LP's probably a hell of an athlete, so I don't mean to.
Well, I always make, like, guesstimates like that. Like, there was what did McCarthy say about doing a cartwheel in the sand? It was easier to do cartwheels in the sand about the Dak deal. And I was like, I want to see that.
Yeah. Especially from McCarthy.
Yeah.
I want to see him move.
I can't do one. So, like, it's gotta be interesting. I'd like to see LP run. Not that I think he can't do it. But I just want to see,
especially compared to, like CeeDee Lamb or Michael Gallup or Amari.
we don't need him to look like burnt toast. I just want to know.
Well, just the juxtaposition, like, it's like I'm a freak and I watch the combine every year when they have it, televised just for.
Were you watching the young men online this year?
I got this streamed online and. Everyone's in their tights and they're running really fast. And it's just like, that's me. Like, I love that. I don't know why, but I'm addicted to it. It's an addiction. But anyways,
could have been you.
I always wanted to see, like, what a normal person, like, maybe, like, semi-athletic, but like a normal average Joe would look like if they had to go do all this.
I would
drills.
Love to see you run against.
And then they put it, oh my gosh, I pull a hamstring. You know how they have, Eisen when he does the 40, and they put him and they have all the other guys. I want to see that on every drill and what it looks like. Hey, the vertical, the bench press.
Shout out Dallas Cowboys social team. Get on that.
I do have an Instagram picture of me going through the combine when we had the draft that one year. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I still got the juice a little bit. Granted, that was three, four years ago, but
you go running often. I'm not even going to try.
So I'm washed, but I still have irrational confidence. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, so back to Fossil. I feel like I've kind of convinced you that there is a conspiracy.
Sure, I'm with it. I'm all in.
But we did. This is going to be our segment, What's Poppin'?
Oh, shout out Jet Li. and Jack Arlo.
What's up, Jet? So, okay. Also on special teams, we did just sign a punter who I kind of want his jersey now. Anger's a great last name.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's number nine, or was number nine, right?
Not anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we'll get to that too, I think.
Oh, yeah. We'll beat that dead horse into the ground. Oh, my God. That has been a thing online this week.
Yeah.
But
anger on a Cowboys jersey. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, see that. I have anger when I watch the Cowboys often.
Yeah.
But do you have any thoughts on, I think there's nothing wrong with a little healthy competition, right? But we did get rid of Chris Jones, or parted ways with him, mm-hmm. to be nicer. And then, so we have Niswander,
mm-hmm. something like that.
I have a really hard time with names. Like the whole, Patrick Surtain thing. Mm-hmm. It looks like curtain in my head. I say certain, and it ruins everything. So my bad.
Just call him Lockdown.
I'm sorry to this man for not knowing how to say his last name, but, do you see him having, I feel like he proved himself pretty well last year. Do you see him having a hard time keeping his job, or I think Anger is kind of a journeyman.
Yeah. He's definitely a vet. No, I think Niswander, I think he performed admirably. Yeah. And
someday we'll figure out your name, well, my guy.
Yeah. Apologize to you. Big ups to you, big dog. But no, I think he certainly performed admirably and should be able to have the opportunity to compete for his position.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the NFL is a business, and it comes down to wins and losses, and the best player is going to play. And, you know, it's not like high school or little league or even college where, you know, you got influence from this, that, or the other. It's the best man usually wins. It's a meritocracy, and
yeah,
or it should be, at least. If it's not, then people are doing it wrong. But I think you gotta bring in comp guys to compete, and may the best man win. And, you know, if that's Anger, great. We're happy to have you.
Yeah.
If not, then, you know, we did the right thing and we pushed him. We made him elevate his play a little bit, hopefully. And
yeah,
we'll go from there. It's all about kind of back to the roster construction. You know, it's all about finding the best 53 guys, right?
Yeah.
And you can't have too many good players. So you get guys in at certain
positions.
I'd like to try. I know, right? Well, and you get certain positions, yeah, where, you know, you get, well, why do we need another tight end or cornerback or linebacker?
Oh, I'll get into that.
It comes down to that. So I think, yeah, this is just another piece.
I just think it's fun that Fossil's actually, like, he's really hands-on. Like, sure. I feel like he's really getting in there. That has been such a point of contention over the last couple of years. It's like, oh God, what are we going to do now? How are we going to screw, yeah, this up? I don't want to watch, like, whenever someone's catching the ball in the end zone. But
I think also that McCarthy values his opinion.
Yeah.
And values the opinions of his,
evident, yeah,
of his team. And, you know, I think that, you know, last year we saw that on the defensive end as well. And we certainly saw it in special teams, and, you know, we'll continue
maybe
to
maybe the defensive end to our detriment, well, but, you correct, know,
but
he gave him a shot, you know?
And I think it also shows us a sign from the front office as well on the way that they are approaching the coaching staff. And,
yeah,
maybe a change than what we haven't seen in the past.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's kind of critique of Garrett was just that he was Jerry's puppet, mm-hmm, I guess. Whether that's true or not, that's just kind of the perception of it. So, yeah, at least the perception this time, I feel like McCarthy is in charge.
Yeah.
So that's been cool to see. But now to your guy, your hog alum. That's not what you call each other.
Sure, why not? A Razorback?
Archie boy.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one. But hey, it's been great times for Razorbacks here the last couple of weeks. All right, we're riding on high.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you went very far in the basketball.
We got
tournament.
Baseballs popping off, women's basketball, women's softball. We got it going on the hill.
It's never too late to be an Arkansas fan.
That's right.
I mean, for anyone who's looking. But so we also signed tight end Jeremy Sprinkle from Washington. Thoughts on this? So, what do you remember of him from his Arkansas days?
So Sprink was actually there.
Sprink.
Yeah, you know. He was
We're tight like that.
He was actually there my senior year.
Okay.
He was a freshman my senior year. And, you know, he was backing up, you know, some perennial Mackey Award-winning tight ends there at Arkansas. But he was a 1-2 punch for Hunter Henry, who just signed a big deal for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And then he really kind of came to his own when Hunter went to the draft after his junior year and allowed for Sprink to kind of be the focus of the offense. Big guy.
I'm going to call him Sprink from now on. If he's like out there in these streets,
yeah,
we'll see.
You got to. Big body, big guy, athletic. I think that, I mean, from all I've seen, and again, he's been with Washington, he's been able to kind of carve a role in with them the last couple of years. I think he's a solid blocker. He does all of the little things right. In terms of what that's going to look like for the Cowboys, we'll see. I mean, yeah. I think, again, kind of coming back to our point, like I think you've got, you know, a great player, you're a good to, you know, possibly great player in Jarwin. We'll see what happens.
Blakey Jars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jaws.
Oh, Jaws.
Call him,
yeah.
Jaws.
That's a good one too.
I think Hannah was a draft pick a couple years back who kind of, you never really had the opportunity, kind of buried behind Witt.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you had Jarwin, you had, oh gosh, what was the
Dalton Schultz-y?
Had Schultz.
Well,
yeah.
That's right now.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're referencing. But...
And then somebody else.
Blake Bell just left us.
Not Blake Bell. Shout out Belldozer. But anyways. You know, he's kind of buried down the depth chart, but,
I mean, when you thought of, for the longest time, when you thought of the tight end position, it was Jason Witten.
Absolutely.
So it's like, who are these other guys that do the same thing? I don't even know them.
I'm going to bury my Jay Witt comments of the last like three seasons.
Oh, your twin?
Okay. I'm just going to keep those inside because he doesn't deserve that. And I don't want to talk about that today, but.
So what you're trying to say is that he should have just stayed gone.
Maybe when we left, we should have just maybe not come back.
My thing is also, I don't disagree with you. I know he.
And
like,
it's hard to say that about a legend.
And I know he really valued, I think he saw like coming back as an opportunity to get a ring that year, like, and I can see why.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jason, I really think they just like didn't set our man's up for success. Like, he's not meant to be in the booth calling a game. Like, he needs to be like in a panel.
Yeah,
he'd be great in a panel.
Well, and listen, my man had no training in that aspect,
and who was like, yeah, Jason Witten and Booger McFarland.
Yeah, like,
this is great.
I'm not gonna ride him too hard for that, but for the on-field performance, I think that, you know, there was some questionable thing, and again, it's hard to not, you know, ride with a guy like that, especially everything he's done.
Yeah,
but you got to make hard decisions.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people critiqued like Dez when he was here for like being very outspoken about give me the ball. I think Jason Witten was very much the exact same way, but he wasn't doing the theatrics of it. It was like, you're going to give me the ball. I'm the tight end.
I'm Jason Witten.
Yeah. And like, yeah, legends. He's a legend, but yeah, I don't know. Jay Witt, we love you, but you know,
but it's time for we got new blood. We got some new guys
hanging up. Younger. LP's not going to pass you. It's fine.
That's right. Yeah, he's still got that. And
that's why he came back. He was like, not letting the long snapper be the one. Not today. All right. So, speaking of the fun things happening in Cowboys Nation this week.
It is. I mean, they've had a pretty for the middle, like right before the draft, and
yeah,
you know, all outside of all the draft talk, it has been pretty entertaining. The little drops we've gotten this week.
Honestly, like, I always make this reference. So I'm a huge Bravo fan, among other reality shows. I find reality television fascinating. But I always, this season kind of feels a little more like Real Housewives-y to me, because like so many things are like dropping behind the scenes that only we really find interesting.
You're on your own with this one.
I'm not going to like get too far into it, but just like, who, why are like Cowboys Nation is on fire about this week. The NFL announced that they may allow linebackers, DBs, wide receivers, and running backs to have numbers in the single digits, which made Jalen Smith everyone's favorite Cowboy right now. Share an edit from a fan of him in the number 9 jersey.
Nina. He's got the Nina on him.
And yeah, no one was, no, the Romosexuals especially were not happy, but just everybody upset.
Yeah.
A buzz.
You know, first off, I think this is the best thing the NFL's done, or it's long overdue.
Yeah.
Like, from a guy that, you know, played a little bit, it was always so cool. Like, it was coveted to have one of those single digit numbers. Like, if you
honestly,
were,
I didn't know that.
If you were a bad dude, like, you wanted to have, you, first off, you had to be a bad dude to have one of those numbers. But if you were a bad dude and you have one of those numbers, like, it just took it to the next level. I was always number 21 because, one, prime, obviously.
Yeah.
But that number, like, just kind of held a lot of, like, special memories for, like, my family as well. Yeah. So, like, I was always that. But if I wasn't that, I was 16 in college, which, shout out Joe Montana. At least that's what I tell myself.
Sure.
I wanted to be a single-digit number.
Yeah.
Like, Cam Newton's number one is so awesome. Like, Reggie Bush's number 5 in college was the coolest thing. And the fact that they didn't let him have that in at the NFL, I think was crap.
Yeah.
But I think this is huge. It's going to be, the players are going to love it. It's going to look awesome. Now, one thing you got to be aware of, which you may not know.
I didn't know anything that you just said, so this is great.
The big boys are going to be fighting for these numbers.
Oh,
the big boys love the single digit numbers.
Okay.
And that's okay. Shout out to my big boys. And I'm not talking about O-linemen. Like, O-linemen, yeah. I'm talking about your D-line, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you're a dog, then you're gonna look pretty good in that. Sergio Kendall. Shout out Sergio Kendall, Dallas boy, Woodrow Wilson, University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated my year and he was number 2. And he was also like enormous and super freak athletic, but he looked like a monster in the number 2. Like, it looked awesome. But then
I've never thought of this.
Then you have like nose tackles that are enormous wearing number 5. And it just doesn't really work out that way. And
it hits different when it's a big boy.
It hits different. So you got to like have the look, you got to have the sauce. Like, you got to back it up.
Got to have the sauce.
In high school, though, and sometimes college too, because they're not getting custom jersey sizes for every single player every year, right? There's no way they can afford that. But they do size them out, the smaller numbers for smaller jerseys and the larger numbers for larger jerseys. So you'll have guys that are 300 pounds wearing like number 3. And it's skin tight and their belly showing. And again, that's great if you're a dog, but if you're not, then it just looks sloppy. It looks sloppy and it's super tight.
This is some insight that I'd never heard before.
I'm telling you, but
coming from Mr. Friday Night Lights himself. All right. Shit. Well,
vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm excited. If we can get, yeah. I know CD's not going to change to Deuce.
He did want to.
I don't think he can. I don't think you can't switch on the fam like
you
that.
You can't. Yeah. Like you're part of the 88 club. That's a big deal. Like you can't just leave.
No, he's stuck with that. And I think he recognizes that. It's fun to think
about. I don't think that anyone, well, I shouldn't say anybody, but any of the big guys are going to make the switch.
I have no issues with Jalen taking 9. I really don't. Like, I know that that's a hot topic, but
yeah,
we don't retire jerseys with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know, Ring of Honor. We got multiple guys that Randy White wore 54. He wears that now.
Yeah.
Like Randy White, Mr. Cowboy, like, you know, I'm cool with it. Like, Romo's legacy will live on regardless of if Jalen has this cool number or not. Number 12, like Staubach, like has someone worn that before? I'm sure, but
I don't think it's not going to make me upset if he were to do that. Yeah. I don't think he's going to if you read any of his mentions, but
people are soft.
I know. Who cares?
It would look so icy. Like I'm telling Jay, that's
the problem is they want him to like play like he's icy.
So you got to play like Romo.
Well, I don't know about
that. Okay, I get that. Like you gotta live up to it if you're gonna make that move. But
yeah, like I don't think like there's a reason like Ben DiNucci didn't pick number 9.
Well, it comes back to what I said earlier.
Yeah.
If you're gonna wear a single digit, you gotta be that guy.
Yeah.
You gotta be that dude. You gotta be a bad man.
I don't know with his gold chain Ben DiNucci.
That's right. You gotta be a bad dude.
People were saying
the Nooch.
Then he went on the field and then we changed our minds. But it's okay. It's okay.
No, but
we love the Nooch on this show.
I think it'll look really cool. And I wish we could have seen some of the players in the past.
I'm more here for it now that I've heard this like perspective.
I've
never heard that before.
it starts from a young age too. Like, I didn't think there was a lot of people maybe when I was like playing peewee that were wanting to wear the single digits. Like 7 was always cool. But everyone was
lucky
like,
number 7.
Everyone wants to be 21 or 22 for Emmitt or 88 for Mike, especially if you're around this area.
Yeah.
20 for Barry Sanders. Like those were the numbers. 1 was cool. 3 was cool. 7 was cool. 9 was cool. But nah, when we got into like high school, like when I saw Reggie in that 5, like watching his highlights on like the old computer lab computers, like acting like I'm working on my assignments. That's when I was like, yeah, that's sick. Yeah. And then took it from us.
Well, okay. So I want to get your thoughts on the first round draft pick.
Ooh.
Because this is why Jerry has been like kind of salivating over Pitts.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame him.
Well, is this his chance to like get another Witten and put him at 82? Speaking of jersey numbers that mean so much.
I hope we don't make decisions just off of that.
But, I don't know.
But you never know.
It all comes back to Jason.
It does. It does. For me, the way that I look at, and I kind of explained it earlier, like, and again, I'm no scout. I'm no GM. I have no experience, anything like that. I just go off of the eye test and, you know, what I think is from a little bit of experience from watching. And I think when you construct your team, I think a lot of folks get consumed with the holes that they have on their roster, right? And I think that you absolutely have to be cognizant of that when you're going through the draft or going through free agency processes. Like that's all part of it. And we didn't even talk about trades. Like that's a whole thing that you don't see enough in the NFL, which if you're not doing it, you need to be doing it because that's how you make your team better, or another avenue to make your team better. But anyways, for me, it's all about getting the best 53 guys out there. And outside of the quarterback position, like that's the one position where, and that's why you see it every year. You see guys, teams trade up, they go get their guy. They're always going to be drafted at the top of the draft for the most part.
They're saying that there's going to be 5.
Yeah.
Like I believe right it. Off the bat.
I believe it. And you do that because you want to get your guy, right?
Yeah.
And you want, we are in the situation where we're lucky enough to have our guy. So that's the one caveat.
Sometimes you like draft a quarterback and say that he's going to be a running back and then make him your starting quarterback.
Right.
You know, just the old switcheroo.
Yeah. Cough.
Losers. Looking at you, Philly.
When you have a guy that, so you're telling me like, if we're sitting at 10 and you have a guy like Pitts that falls to you, we all know that a defense is a need for us right now. And that's, anyone could have seen that. You could have, a child would know that, hey, they're scoring too many points. You need to do something about that without having any knowledge of the game of football. But I think if you're telling me that this guy is going to be a Hall of Fame player, a generational talent, that, you know, he's the best prospect that we've seen since ever, right? Or at least in this generation.
Yeah, generational talent.
Then, and he's sitting there at 10, I have no problem with us taking him. I have absolutely no problem with that. And you're telling me that you're going to get a guy that's going to play for you for hopefully the next decade, that's going to be at an elite level and impossible to stop, and the doggos agree. But you know, I don't have any issue with that. Now, I would have an issue if we like traded up for him. Like, that's something that, you know, you're giving away assets.
I just want to see if you get another CeeDee Lamb situation.
Exactly. And I applaud exactly what we did last year, and you can't have too many weapons, right? Look at the teams that perennial playoff teams, or they're at the top of the league, or they're Super Bowl winners. Granted, you know, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Patrick Mahomes. These guys are elite level players, but it's offenses that are moving the game along. And if you're going to have a guy that's going to help in that, and then you can piece together the back end and, you know, fortify some other areas, I'm with that.
Yeah, I hear you. Let me play devil's advocate for a second. How long are we just going to ignore the defense?
Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah,
I mean, last year, Kalyvon Chaisson was probably the pick if it wasn't CeeDee. Like, I get it. Like, I was here for that. I was like, Team 40 Burger, if you score 40 points, then, like, you're just going to win the game because whatever, who cares? What is defense?
Yeah.
But that didn't work. For a lot of reasons, Dak being out did not help, but just we couldn't stop a nosebleed. Like, why they don't value, I feel, or they haven't shown that they valued a lot of positions on the defense. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody like Patrick Curtin or like J.C. Horn, right there, and I get it, like, will Pitts even fall to that point? Right. So then it becomes a moot point.
Yeah.
But people are also interested in Waddle too.
I think that's probably where I draw the line.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, so Pitts are we're getting defense.
Yeah. And, right. You know, and you could probably convince me if they went with Penei Sewell, if for whatever reason he went there, you could probably convince me of that. That one would be a hard sell for me, though, because and the only reason I say that is because Surtain and J.C. Horn and even Fairley are absolute savages. Like, these guys are beasts, and, you know, they're great players, probably best player available or on the fringe of that in positions of need. That's where it's kind of like, all right, this is a layup, like, you know, make that decision. But it really just comes down to if Pitts is there I would probably be kind of like, and he went like one pick later to like, I don't know who's 11,
everyone's nightmare is like him ending in up Philly in the NFC or something. Yeah. Which I get.
But you also think
defense is just such a glaring need.
Right. But it is. And there's no question about it. And is one guy going to fix that? Who knows? Right. Like, because
Taco
didn't.
So
I I'm kind of, you know, contradicting myself, because go back to the 2016 draft when I was like, I'm sitting there, I might have even been watching with you, I can't remember, but I was like, draft Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
He's the best cornerback prospect I've seen since I watched Deion. Like, this guy's an absolute beast, like, draft him. And then we took Zeke, and I was like, and then look, you know, Jalen is, he's a perennial all pro, he's going to be in Hall of Fame, he's an absolute savage. The Rams are maybe a fringe playoff team. Like, and they have the best player in the NFL.
You don't think Matthew Stafford's going to take him all the way?
Matty Staff's my guy, but you got...
Man, I really hated that, like, week where people were like, he's going to end up on the Cowboys.
Oh, no.
No.
But think about that. You have the best defensive player in the NFL, maybe the best player in the NFL, honestly, in Aaron Donald. And you have the best, I'll say, defensive back. I'll loop him in just the whole category there, in Jalen Ramsey. And they're a fringe playoff team. They went to one Super Bowl, but I don't think Jalen was on that team. I could be wrong, but
what a boring game that was.
And so, again, I think that offenses are what's and creative offenses, not just offense in general, are what's propelling the league. You have to have an elite level quarterback. You have to have the coach that's like minded with that.
Yeah.
You obviously have to have the tools around to work. And then on defense, I think if you can solidify the front. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can get consistent pressure. Look what the Bucs did, right?
Yeah.
You can't probably name one player in the secondary for the Bucs besides maybe Winfield, because he was a first round pick. Good player. But those guys they're solid. Okay. They're not elite yet, but they're solid players, but they are able to get it done. And I think the Chiefs are the same way, right? They have Honey Badger.
Mm-hmm.
And
they have Hitch.
They do have Hitch, and then, but look at their front. They had Frank Clark. They have Chris Jones, and then they got Hitch. They've got Honey Badger. They've got Juan Thornhill. They've got Sorensen. But those are kind of just their young guys, are just guys. And then Charvarius Ward is their starting corner. Like, do you know who that is? Solid player, but it's not like
he has an intimidating name.
He does kind of reminds me of Charizard.
Yeah. Gotta catch them all.
But,
I again, did not
just get by. That was perfect. Just get by, right? Get by on the defense.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So I think all eyes for me are on what Quinn is gonna bring to the draft. Like, I want to see him kind of get in there with Will. I know he's been traveling with him. I know he's been out there. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, like, he left his juju back in Atlanta, but, you know, other than that.
I think, you know, and you're spot on. I think that anyone who's followed the NFL for the last, you know, 15 years, and Quinn's been doing this for a long time, but you know the name Dan Quinn, right? He did his thing in Seattle. Like, he was a cornerstone and a part of what they put together there. He transitioned and was very successful with Atlanta for a while. And then things were, they went downhill towards the end.
Yeah, they always look good in the first, like, three quarters. And then, you know.
And, you know, that ultimately falls on his shoulders.
Right.
I don't think he forgot how to coach. And
maybe
I'm sure
he's
still
just more of a one-track mind guy.
And you see that, and I see that in my 9-to-5. We see that in all walks of life, where, you know, people maybe they just need to zone in on what they're working on. They can be incredible at that when you get too much on their plate. I don't know, but I'm excited to have him. I'm excited to see what happens. You know, he's well respected, and you know, I hope, like you said, I hope he didn't leave any of that juju back in Seattle or Atlanta.
Yeah, I want to like make sure like someone came and like saged him. And like
full cleanse.
Yeah, I don't need any of that like fourth quarter meltdown.
We have
bullshit.
Enough. We have enough of that already.
Yeah,
with this.
Like,
team.
I don't need more.
There's already enough demons.
Someone go sage the locker room while we're at it. Just like whole refresh, especially on Dak's ankle.
Oh gosh.
I want a crystal like strapped to his ankle at all times.
Yeah, just put it. Yeah, just tape it right there. So we're good.
I need some like black magic protecting my guy.
I'm
cool
with it. Whatever we need to do to get to the next level.
I'm here for it.
I'll give him my ankle if he needs it. But
oh, yeah. I think anyone would at this point.
I was looking at old tweets, and I think I actually said that. Like, take my whole leg.
Bring it back.
It's already, like, you can, half of my leg is just whatever, but you could have it anyways.
Just stapled together.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it wouldn't be a Mego Taylor mess around without talking about our true love.
we're doing it?
Yeah, of course we're doing it. Anytime RJ comes on the show, it happens just the same. Kelsey cannot make her watch this show.
Oh gosh.
But the challenge.
Oh, talking my language, girl.
I mean, I've been super into this season. I think it's one of the best we've had in a while.
No question.
They figured out how to make the Gold Skull situation interesting. Like having to go down there, you could lose it. We can send people down. They're mixing it up a little more. Now, my question to you, because I talk about this constantly, because I'm also a Big Brother fan.
Okay.
So big Brother fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the one thing that my qualm with the production of the show, David Hellman's dog is being a crazy boy, is that they've put in people that play super political games
mm-hmm.
in the Big Brother contestants, and mm-hmm. then they have people that like want to go out there, get physical, get things done, rough it up,
have a good time.
They're putting them together, but they're not showing us the like strategy sessions,
right,
and
right.
I feel like we're missing out on like a big part of it, because that's always so interesting in Big Brother. You're 24/7, you're on camera, and they mm-hmm. always will show you like the little like
mm-hmm.
they're obviously making moves. They made such a solid alliance that got them so far, and even like Josh wouldn't have gone in if it wasn't a double.
Right.
And that's absurd, because he is the biggest bumbling
right.
bozo ever.
Yeah, exactly.
So your take, do you think like we need to show it? And also, it does it bother you that Big Brother just has a stronghold right now because of the way they play?
So two parts. First, for a like all American red-blooded male, I have way too much too many thoughts and concerns, and I spend way too much bandwidth in my brain thinking about the show. It consumes me and a couple of my homeboys, like, for trash TV.
If
like,
you don't watch it, what are you doing?
It is like, I think, like, outside of sports, like, I don't watch a ton of TV besides, like, you know, the big shows, but this is it. So I'm fully invested. I think that when they made the switch over to adding the Big Brother contestants, it was a huge like pivotal moment in the challenge, because to your point, you've got all of these folks that are just, they were either on the Real World when we had that, or the other various MTV shows that they had at the time, Road Rules before that. And these guys, they came in and they were just ready to bash heads and hook up with each other.
Yep.
And
bring that back.
Yeah, have a good and drama. Like that's what got me hooked on the show.
They're not even drinking that much right now.
I know. Like that's what got me hooked on the show was just all of the testosterone and adrenaline from the guys. Then they would just beat heads, and then you know, then they'd get sloppy, and you know, they'd start drama,
and then
all
that's
of the
how you
infighting.
Get thrown in because of
exactly.
your drunken antics.
All of the infighting, and you know, that was the fun stuff. And then you'd have there was always like one or two guys, like there was the Westes, there was the Johnnies, and they were kind of the creative minds. They were the ones that were working behind the scenes, and not everybody could do that. I think when Big Brother came in, it added on. It's like, oh crap, now there's, you know, 4, 5, 6 of these people that play the game that way.
Yeah.
And instead of just being the ultimate competitor.
And like when they first came in, and I think you'll agree, they were at a disadvantage because they didn't have a lot of them.
Yes.
And they weren't able to like do their thing.
Yeah.
Now that they're not rookies mm-hmm. and they don't have a big giant target on the back of their head. Like I think they're able to play the way that they want to. And I obviously Devin.
Oh,
loved
my guy. That's my guy.
He was like the narrator.
Yeah.
That's like, I hate the way Big Brother plays. I like the way they play, but I'm not seeing it.
Yeah.
But like, you can tell that what they're doing is working.
Yeah. And I think there's obviously stuff that gets left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
And
show me more.
I think, and I've had this conversation with a couple of my homeboys. It's like, you know, the challenges are cool, but some of the challenges, they're just kind of like, we want to see, what do we want to see? We want to see the infighting. We want to see the strategy. We want to see the tea, the mess.
Yeah.
And then we want to see
like the head to head. Yeah.
You know, at the end or whatever they call it this season. I can't even think about it. The proving ground or whatever it is. Like that's what we want to see. And you know, it's cool to watch the trip, like the trivia ones are fun and funny.
Oh my
like
God.
Those are the best. But
the way, I don't think I've ever loved anything the way that TJ loves Trivia Day.
Oh, it's about just him cackling and laughing. But like, for example, like the last episode, like all they did was run and answer a math problem and run back. Like, I get it, but do we need to, you know, have that much time dedicated?
We know
to it?
That Anissa can't run, right. and T can't run. Like, we know.
I think that it's wild to me how the Big Brother Alliance, mm-hmm. how solid it is. Like, these guys and gals, like, they Casey, do not, yes. they are ride or die for each other. Whereas the rest of the house could, they always have the numbers
yeah.
at the outset or the onset to overcome that. But yeah. there's so much just drama and history and infighting on that side of things. That the Big Brother team, and they ride for each other. Like, last night's episode too. Yeah. Like, that's a whole nother thing. Like
Fessy went in to get Casey.
And
it worked.
I was
Casey and Fessy were like enemies on, not enemies, but they like were working against each other on their season. They were on the same one. Casey won.
Okay.
And she like fucked over Fessy a lot.
Yeah.
Like, she pulled one over on him every single week.
Yeah.
Like, he was completely out of it. And I think that,
shocker.
But honestly, what I think she's not getting enough credit for is like why I'm so upset. I'm like, show more of this. Cause I think she's the mastermind, because there's no way that Fessy's
damn
like,
sure ain't Fessy.
He's a good soldier. Casey has the brains.
Absolutely.
That.
Yeah.
She was like, with her and Tyler combined on their season, like, they ran that entire thing.
I think that when they went into this season, there are not a lot of dominant males this season.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no bananas.
Fessy beating his chest, though.
I know. Like, well, Fessy, and listen, Fessy's, he's a big guy. He seems like he's pretty athletic, but he's still got to show me. Like, I ain't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Like, I really hadn't seen it yet.
He's talking the talk.
Yeah. But, and then you got, like, CT on his, you know, his swan song. You got Wes, like,
aww,
these
swan
guys,
song.
Yeah, these guys, like, they're not the same. So, there's just not that, like, elite guy. So, I think you're right with the whole Casey situation. Look, so we got a Fessy CT brawl in here with the dogs.
Yeah, they're doing Animal Planet right now.
But, no, I agree. And I think that they played the game the right way the whole time, and they just stood by each other.
Yeah.
And then
it's very Big Brother of them. And it worked.
I was, and you tell me what you think. Are we allowed to do spoiler alerts? Like, I guess the episode already happened.
Spoiler alert.
But last night's episode had the potential to honestly be like an all-timer for me.
Yeah.
Because of the moves that, and that's why I got to give Cam like so much credit, because she's always like she's always thinking, like, and like, she's a savage, like, she competes and has got the brains too, but she came up with this plan and they didn't go through with it, and I was so pissed, because for me, like, that would have been a like series altering moment.
I don't want to see Kyle in a hall brawl. I want to see Leroy and Fessy.
You got, and like, they go down there, and then to see like who picks who, like, and now like, they could have had the opportunity, like, Leroy and Cam could have had, so if Cam went down there with Corey, then it's Corey and Fessy in a hall brawl,
that's,
right?
That's what I'm trying
to
say.
So then
yes.
if Fessy wins, okay, does he pick Casey? Okay, well then Leroy takes Cam and they're together for the final.
That would have been interesting.
If Corey wins, okay, are you really going to pick Amber or whoever else to be your partner over Cam, even though she just threw you down there? Hell no, you're going to take her anyways. So now you just knocked out Fessy. Casey's still with Leroy and you're still with Corey. Like, they could have ran away with it.
Yeah.
Or they could have been able to team up.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how the $1 million is going to get split. I don't know what's going to happen, but
I don't need another Johnny and Sarah situation.
No, but you could have. So I think what they're doing right now, they're diversifying themselves, when I would have liked them to either.
Well, it's also like, why did they let CT be the loner? Right. I was like, Nani, what are you doing?
And why did they let Fessy team up with Casey? Now, like, I don't think that they're the best team. They're the best team right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're going to win, but I think it was a fail on their part.
Yeah.
They should have pulled the trigger. Yeah, it would have been savage, but you got to do what you got to do for $1 million.
Ooh.
And the TV would have been just outstanding.
Taylor, we need to get you on that show.
I know.
I'm saying.
That or the Bachelor, right?
No, we don't need you on the Bachelor. Lord.
My grandma asked me to say that. So.
Did she? Oh, I'll submit you.
Oh, goodness.
I'll do it.
Oh, goodness. We'll see.
You know Tori would love to see you on there.
Oh, I know. I know.
Shout out, Tori. Okay, but also I need to say that if you are not watching the OG season, I'm not calling it the All-Star season, but the OG season, mm-hmm. you must. They can cuss on there, and it's
a game started. Changer. I haven't started yet. Has it already been airing?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't
I'll yet. Give you the login.
They just look so, like, out of it, like, washed.
It's been pretty good.
Okay, it's been good.
And they can cuss.
Okay,
and good. They're drinking a lot. So
they
it's,
just
it's,
look
that's,
so
like, if you're talking
washed.
About missing the old school challenge, like, they'll
and
bring
I,
it to you.
I'm washed, but oh, they look so washed.
Yeah, they're away from their children too, so you know.
Oh,
they're
oh
getting,
here we go.
They're getting
yeah.
weird. Yeah. Weird. Anyway, so thanks for putting up with our challenge talk, Taylor. Thank you for joining me today.
Love it.
Very much appreciate it.
Hopefully, you'll have me back.
I think we will.
We'll see. We'll see what the numbers do.
Taylor, tell us where the people can find you.
I am on all the social. So Twitter at T Lassiter. T-L-A-S-I-T-E-R_21. If you do follow me, just be prepared for a lot of Cowboys, Mavs, Razorbacks, hip hop references.
He's pretty spicy on Twitter.
Yeah, and it's a lot, but it's fun.
It's very fun.
And then on Instagram, just at T Lassiter, and there's a lot of travel pics and
thirst traps.
There are
ladies.
Thirst traps
for all the ladies. There are some thirst traps for you.
There's thirst traps. There's restaurants.
Really,
there's...
You need to give me a picture that looks like, I mean, you always look like him, but I need one that like looks like the Jason Witten ad. And I'm going to put
them
side by side.
I'll go back when I had the
shaved
head.
That way I can really direct the Cowboys gals your way. So,
I mean, it's pretty close, but that was pre-shaved, or that's when I had the shaved head. So maybe I need to rock that.
I'm pro-shaved head.
Shaved head and beard or
yeah
okay well either way we got the gold chain, so we'll yeah. keep that going.
It's the Chet Hanks summer.
That's right.
Thank you guys for joining us today. You can catch us always on Fridays, starting after the draft. We'll hit you back on Mondays, but until then, check out the other shows on the Blogging the Boys Network. You can find us anywhere that you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, what have you. Come join us. Come hang out. We've got something for you every single day. And as always, I like to end the show.
May I?
You may.
May I?
It would be honored.
Because
I would be honored. Because
you know I listen. I'm required to listen.
You
so
are required to listen.
It's just, we've been homies for over a decade. So like, yep. I got to.
Let the people know.
All right. Well, Dallas forever. Philly for never.
Never.
None. Nunca.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.